I mean, we could go on all day, because I mean, the history is,
Mm.
like you say, well over 200 years old. But just as a final little story, when I was here, I used to think it was haunted, especially being here on my own, 1 o'clock in the morning, locking the place up. I definitely felt something. So, do you ever feel any supernatural whatever?
Yes, there is something here.
There
There
is,
is
isn't there,
something
yeah.
here. There is definitely a presence here. I'll tell you the full story. I mean, when I started working here, I was told Sarah Siddons, as a very famous actress in the 18th century, she played here in this theatre for £3 a week. Which was a lot of money in those days, and it was said to me that she haunts this theatre. Well, we went through a period of time where things weren't very, very. I mean, we carried on working, we've continuously worked, but our shows weren't being very well received, and we went through a very difficult period. And there's a lovely lady who works here, and she's been here for quite a few years, Jane, who works in our paint shop. And she always had this thought that it wasn't Sarah Siddons who haunts this theatre. And Jane, like myself, has read into the history, and going back through the history of this theatre, there is an actress in the late 17th century, early 1800s, whose name was Sarah, and she basically, as an actress, had an affair with a gentleman actor, theatre manager, called William Charles Macready. And he basically had an affair with her and left his wife, then married Sarah. And of course, as an actor, he went off on tour. So as he was going off on tour, he said to her, he said, "Here, you have the keys of this theatre and you run this theatre, the Theatre Royal in King Street." So then she had the almighty job. And I mean, for that time,
This is
for
a
a.
staff announcement. Could Chris Baggis head to wardrobe, please? Chris Baggis to
Just a
wardrobe.
slight
Thank you.
interruption there.
It is working in a live theatre,
It
it's
is,
what it's
yeah, well,
all
there you
about.
go.
But So I was to say that as an actress,
So she would run in a theatre.
she was
Yeah.
basically took over, and for a woman of that time to do that was
Yeah.
quite extraordinary for a woman to have that much power and be given, but she did. And she single-handedly ran the old theatre in King Street, and she was an incredible lady because she worked here for many years. I think about 25 to 30 years she was based here. Had a sort of dual role because she was a stage manager as well as a house manager. Now, both today are done by two completely different people, and it's quite a responsibility just having one of those jobs, but to have two of those jobs. I mean, she used to look after the acting companies, but then, as a house manager, as I said to you, they used to get 1,000 Bristolians into the theatre, so they had to get them out, and so it was part of her job. And I was told a story when I came in here in 1983. Of a chap who used to work on stage door called Tony. And he didn't.
A predecessor
A
of mine. Yeah,
predecessor
there
to
we go.
yourself. And he didn't believe in ghosts or the unexplained or anything like that. He was quite skeptical about the whole thing. But this one evening, something happened to him which made him change his mind. Now, the theatre, as I said earlier, is a horseshoe shape, and there's a corridor that runs underneath the ground level of what is the stalls. It was originally called the pit. And it was along there that he was walking along one evening, and I mean, he was so skeptical, but he didn't believe in anything. But he was a big chap, and you wouldn't argue with Tony, but on this particular occasion, he had an Alsatian dog with him. He used to take a dog round with him.
Really?
Yep, and he was going down along that horseshoe as he was coming around the left-hand side. It's a long passageway with all doorways coming through, and it's the main doorway into what was the pit. And as he came along this doorway, it was quite a warm evening. So he came down, it was just pitch black. He had the dog on the lead and he had a torch, and there was just this beam of light. There was no other lights on, even the working lights were off. And he was just walking along, making sure all the doors were shut and everything. And as he came along on the right-hand side, it was if somebody had opened up a door, like there was this draft just come across him, like a temperature change. When he just dismissed it, he carried on walking until he could walk no more, because suddenly, to his left-hand side, the dog was rooted to the spot. The dog did not move at all. And of course, he had the dog on the lead, so he pulled the lead. So the dog then started put his claws into the lino. There's a lino floor down there today. And he started skating on this lino. And he said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Come on." So he pulled the log. And he said, as he came across, it got colder. But as he turned, he said, "This smell of lavender. This strange smell of lavender, like a musty lavender smell, just came across his face." Well, he didn't believe anything was happening at all, so he just dismissed it. He thought, "No, no, no." So he took another step forward, and as he took a step forward, pulling the dog behind him, the dog then started to bark. And he said to the dog, he said, oh, quiet, be quiet. And in the chorus, in the darkness, he then heard a woman's voice. And he said, he thought it was his imagination. It sounded like, get out. As if someone shouted the words, mm-hmm. get out. And he thought, no, this is my imagination. I'm just playing tricks on myself.
Yeah.
But he said he took another step forward. And he said he physically couldn't see any shape, any form or anything. It was just darkness, just this beam of light into the darkness. But he said as he took that next step forward, it was as if this presence was stood directly in front of him. Because he heard those two words again, get out. But this time, he felt the breath on his face. Now, he couldn't dismiss that. It was as if she was stood directly in front of him. He thought, no, this is... And he said, he just got the doll. He went out. It really did upset him, unnerved him. And we believe it to be Sarah McCready. It makes more sense because people have described this apparition as this woman in black. And a few years ago, we actually had Michael Benteen, who was a great psychic, great spiritualist. He came here to the theatre to do a one-man show on a Sunday, and he was on stage. And he had never been in this theatre before, and he walked down onto the stage, and before he began his warm-up, they were putting the lights on and doing all the focusing and everything. He just sort of just stood there and just soaked up the atmosphere of the theatre. And he suddenly stopped, and he just looked over to what is your right, if you're in the auditorium on your stage, right, if you're on stage, it's stage left. And he was fascinated by this box, what was a box originally. And that was the box where Mrs. McCready, a stage manager, used to sort of be positioned and run the shows from. And he came out and he described her to a T. And when you think of it, it makes it more sense to be Sarah McCready more than Sarah Siddons, because in those days it was candled lighting, gas burners, there was a lot of uplighting, so makeup would be very exaggerated. And for somebody, this apparition, and people have always described this black shadowy figure, so as an actress she wouldn't always be in black on, so you'd be in very flamboyant costumes and the makeup would be very exaggerated. No makeup, very stern, hair tied back in a bun with a centre part, and always looking very, very stern. And we tend to believe it to be her.
Well, there you go. I'd shivered while you were talking about that, because I know exactly where you mean.
Yes.
Doing that in the dark.
It's something we actually tried to recreate. Like yourself, I had a group of students from UWE, and they came in and they wanted to film a ghost watch sort of thing. And we went downstairs, and I actually told that story, and they put a blue filtered light on me to make it all look very atmospheric and very spooky.
They didn't tell me that at the interview, about that.
No, they probably wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't have taken the job.
They probably don't know that story unless they were on one of my tours. Oh, but that's one I love to tell, because it's quite unnerving, because you have somebody who really disbelieves in it and didn't believe what was happening to himself. But he could not dismiss the fact that he actually, as this voice from the darkness spoke, that he actually felt the breath on his face. It was quite extraordinary.
Well, there you go.
He couldn't explain it. He couldn't see any shape or form there. It was just, you know, the darkness, and he just, like, something, get out, his voice. And he said he heard it clearly. I mean, there has been more than one occasion where people have seen. There's a lovely chap, Alex Doherty, who did some press-ups, who used to run our cafe bar. And one day he went into the back of the dress circle and he started doing press-ups and everything. And he was doing these press-ups and back-up, you know, push-ups and everything. And as he was doing these push-ups, he suddenly looked out the corner and looked over to the left-hand side, and he could see this woman just looking at him. And he put his head back down and thought, oh, where's that? And then he looked up, and it was 2 seconds, and she was gone. But he definitely saw this woman looking at him. And other front of house people have seen things, and there's even the occasion of an actress on stage having such an experience that she came on stage 4 pages too soon. She felt safer on stage in front of 600 people watching a play than actually stood at the back of that set on her own.
Really?
She was stood at the back of the stage, and this black shadowy, she described it again as a black sort of shadow, came, and it was as if she was pushed against the wall, as if somebody had pushed her against the wall. And she was so petrified, she actually came on. She was playing a maid in the show, and she had a line, 2 or 3 lines to say before the end of the curtain. So she opened the doors and came on and shut the doors. And they got these two actors on stage, and they looked at the corner of her eye and thought, my God, she's soon. It's not her turn to come on yet. So they carried on acting, and they got to the point. She just stood there as the maid and just waited. And it got to the point when she came with her lines of dialogue and the curtain came down. Of course, the first thing they said, what the bloody hell are you doing? Coming on, you know, 2-3 pages earlier. And they said, she said it looked like a person, but it just pushed past her. And she said, I went completely cold. And she said, it just petrified me. She said, I there was nobody around. I was on my own at the back of the stage. Mm. And she said, it really unnerved me. She said, I felt safer. I just wanted to come on stage, you know, and be in front of everybody. And they said, you must have your imagination. But then when they walked off, they met a stage manager. And on that corner, the prompt corner, earlier that evening, one of the stage crew, there's a pass door which comes between the backstage and the front of the house area. And on this particular evening, earlier that evening, one of the pass door shut, and one of the girls thought they saw somebody come through. So she opened up the door and jumped through and went, ha-ha, got you. It was Danielle, one of our past stage managers, but there was nobody there. But as she landed, making a bit of a fool of herself, she was seen by two other people, and they said, what's wrong with you? She said, but didn't you see that person come through, that person in black? And they said, what person? We've been stood here the whole time. The person we've seen you has come through the door making a fool of yourself. But she said, there was definitely somebody, and she saw that, and that happened the same night as this happened earlier. So, and when you think about it, that pass door was where the box was, where Mrs. McCready would have been as manager. And then through there is where the stage management, from the side of the stage to backstage. So it all it all relates to Mrs. Mack, definitely.
Well, there you go. I think we can go on for hours here, but you better stop. Okay. So I really do appreciate your time, Andrew.
You're very welcome.
And come and see Bristol Old Vic.
Indeed, it's a wonderful theatre to visit. We've got lots of it. And the thing about when you see a show here today, Bristol Old Vic World Class Theatre made in Bristol. If it's a Bristol Vic production, everything is made on site. We've got a great artistic team here. We've got wonderful productions coming up. And yes, it's a theatre to come and visit, definitely.
And go to what's the website address? Do a bit of...
Oh, it's www.bristol-old-vic.co.uk.
Pay it a visit. Thank you very much, Andrew.
You're very welcome.